Luke in chapter 7. This evening we're going to see a simple message, just simply entitled Great Faith. It's one that you'll be familiar with when we read through the context of Scripture. Won't you do this? Go ahead and stand with me in honor of reading God's Word tonight and to keep you awake. Maybe you've had a long day, I don't know, or a long week, or maybe it's almost bedtime, whatever the case. But Luke chapter 7, look at verse 1. Now when he had ended all of his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they had came to see Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Father, we thank you for the time you've given. I thank you again for your word. And I just pray, Lord, you would just help us to glean from it with you'd have us to just take home with us tonight, Father, that which we need the most. I pray, Father, the seed of your word would find good ground in our heart, Lord. And I pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon me as I preach. Lord, I just pray you just help each one to listen, Father, and to hear from your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. We remember Luke chapter 6. We had several messages around this where we saw the Sermon on the Mount, right? Whether it was the exact same time frame as in Matthew or whether Jesus just had preached it multiple times, we're not told. But that's where we concluded in chapter 6. And now Jesus made his way back to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was a small town. Right. It's about 1500 people or so is what it's thought to have been. There's some historical record of that, not biblical, but historical record of that. And this is the area that seems to be kind of the hub of Jesus' ministry. Just as far as location's concerned, is kind of where Jesus oftentimes comes back to. They've got some of his disciples' families are in that area. And so it's just that kind of familiar area. The miracle that we'll study tonight in this passage, it deals with the centurion. Now, who wants to tell me tonight, what was a centurion? A Roman what? Soldier. A centurion, they would see over how many soldiers? Rob. 100. Boy, he is on point tonight. Did you have Culver's yet? Is that afterwards? Culver's afterwards or before? I don't know. So it was a centurion, right? A Roman centurion, they had 100 soldiers. And so this is a position of authority, right? This wasn't just, you know, the assistant manager at the local anything. This was a position of authority. This was someone who had something under him. And we'll see something about that here in a little while. Centurions in the scripture, especially coming from Christ and even at the foot of the cross, are always portrayed in a very positive light. Right? Jesus doesn't go around bashing the Roman government. Matter of fact, Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. He doesn't do that. Even at the foot of the cross, the Roman centurion in Matthew 27 says, truly this was the Son of God. Throughout Luke's gospel, the people were amazed at Jesus. Right? We see that many times where people were amazed at the miracles that Jesus performed. But in this part of the narrative, we're introduced to someone who instead amazes Jesus. There's a little different here than what we have seen and even that which we will see, where this man really, I won't say it surprised him because Jesus knows everything, all right? I'm not saying that at all, but really he's amazed by this man specifically, his faith, and we'll see that. Jesus had finished teaching on the marks of true discipleship, right? He had talked about generosity, and he talked about being loving to your enemies. He talked about following the right leaders. And now the centurion that Jesus encounters demonstrates each of these attributes. Now, we don't have any record that this centurion ever heard Jesus preach or that he was there for this Sermon on the Mount. We don't know any of those things, but yet this centurion, he's demonstrating these attributes, and he was compassionate to this slave. He was compassionate to this servant. We'll see that in just a moment. He loved the Jewish people. What's something that this text tells us that he did for the Jewish people? Did you catch it? He built a synagogue for them. Right? He built them a church. The elders of that town, right? They're not elders like we think of sometimes. They were those respected Jewish officials. And this man built this town a church. He loved the Jewish people, and some of them hated him, and he was generous to build the synagogue. However, that caused Jesus to pause in that's not what caused Jesus to pause or to be amazed. It wasn't the centurion's compassion on his servant. It wasn't the centurion's care and love for the Jewish people, but rather it's his great faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 6 talks about faith. We love this passage and we love this verse in particular. It says, but without faith, it is what? Remember what it says? It's impossible to please him. Without having faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, obviously, the object of our faith is what matters most of all, and that's Jesus Christ, having him as the object or the focus, the center point of our faith. And then Hebrews 11, 6 says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right? It's a matter of having faith in Jesus Christ. A matter of having faith in him and him alone. And we see this moment of faith, this few verses here in this gospel, in the opening verse of the text, we find the centurion's coming to Jesus in faith. Scripture commands us to live and to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we see that this centurion has a sick servant. Look at verse 2. And a certain centurion's servant was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. Now, let me just pause for a moment. The Bible here uses the word servant. What was this man to the centurion? He's a slave. Right? Directly here, he was a slave to the centurion. Now, something we need to understand is that throughout history, there's been many times, and I understand this, where slaves were treated very, very poorly by their owners. I understand that, but this is not the case with this centurion. There is nothing in Scripture that evidences that. And like so many others, he showed love to this slave. He showed love to this servant. He went out of his way to find Jesus. Scripture doesn't tell us this, and I certainly don't want to add anything to Scripture. I would never do that. But I think it's very justifiable to say this, that the man had probably already tried everything medicinally possible, right? He had probably already tried everything that the doctors could have provided, but he had heard of Jesus. And he knew that God would sometimes bring these moments to those who have trust in him. Richard Swenson said, during this interim of hidden news, it is our privilege to trust him in all things. Contentment, but an extension of that trust. In other words, having that faith in Christ. This centurion had faith in Jesus Christ. He didn't know him. There's nothing in Scripture that evidences that he had any kind of prior knowledge or relationship with Jesus. In fact, it's quite the opposite of that from what we see. But yet he had faith in whom Jesus was and also in what Jesus could do and how he could do it. All right, we're going to talk about that here in just a few moments. We see that he had a caring for this friend. The centurion's compassion toward his servant is commendable. He showed faith in Jesus Christ on behalf of his servant. We know this, that love and faith, oftentimes they go hand in hand. Love and faith, you really struggle to have one without the other. If you don't have that love for somebody, it's hard to have faith in them. If you don't have faith in somebody, it's hard to have love for them. And Mark chapter 10 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now we see the manifestation of faith, or in other words, that outward expression of that verbal hearing this man's and seeing this man's faith. Someone had testified to this centurion that Jesus was the Messiah and possessed power to perform miracles of healing. This manifestation is seen in the life of the centurion because he was willing to request the Lord's help. He was willing to reach out and ask Jesus to help. Look at verse 3, and we see that request that comes. It says, and when he had heard of Jesus, stop there just a minute. Did you read the text? It doesn't say that he heard Jesus, but rather he had what? Heard of Jesus. He sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. You see, the centurion had heard of how Jesus had healed the sick. He had heard these stories of what Jesus did and also why he was able to do them. And though he was a man of authority, he was still humble enough. He was able to put his own pride aside to ask Jesus for help. And he sent the elders to represent him to Jesus. Sometimes God will bring us to the moment of faith so we will be humble enough to ask for help. I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life. I can say that I have in mine. Where Christ will bring us to the point to where we are humble enough, right? We talk about this so often. We read it in Scripture time and time and time again, but so often we miss it, right? Scripture tells us that God resists the humble, but he gives grace. I said it backwards. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I just want to make sure you're awake. I'm glad one person was, because I wasn't apparently. But he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And that's what we see with this centurion. Sometimes God will bring us to the moment of faith so we'll be humble enough to ask him for help. These elders among the Jews, these were men who they were just basically city managers, if you will, right? Someone of responsibility in different cities. Okay, they weren't religious leaders necessarily. They weren't of that level. They were just more of dealing with the things of the city and with the people. Psalm chapter 16 says, presence is fullness of joy. At thy right, thy hand, they are pleasures forevermore. We see a faith that realizes. This man realized who Jesus was. Look at verse 6. Then Jesus went from them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now just pause for a minute. We're going to see verses 7 and 8 in just a moment. But number one, the centurion heard that Jesus was in the area. He heard what Jesus was able to do. He was convinced of who Jesus was, and he sends the elders, right? People of authority, not higher than him, but people of authority, people whom he believed Jesus would probably listen to because they would have been Jewish elders, as far as we know, just as far as the manners and customs. And he sends them. Jesus hears about this and starts coming. And he starts coming, and when the centurion realizes who Jesus is, or that he's coming, excuse me, that he realizes that Jesus is coming, what's he tell him to do? Don't come. Don't come into the house. Why? What's the reason? He says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Remember that. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. He says, for I am not worthy, thou shouldest enter under my roof. And then verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He's saying, listen, it's not that I was too lazy or too prideful to come to you. I'm not worthy to come to you. And he says, Jesus, if you just say a word, just say the word, I know my servant can be healed. That is this faith realized. In verse 8, he says, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goeth, and one, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. By faith, there are several truths about Jesus Christ that the centurion recognized. First, he recognizes the authority of Jesus. He recognizes the authority of Jesus. We want to consider just for a moment. Let's just step out of this passage for a moment. the authority as shown by the following scriptures. Number one, Jesus, He has a name above every name. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 talks about that, that His name is above every name. We see also that He is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us about that, that He is at the right hand of God the Father. Right? First Peter tells us that. It says, who has gone into heaven and He is at the right hand of God, and angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. That the centurion understood who he was talking to. That the centurion was a humble man, and he did not demand the attention of Jesus. Right? Verse 8 says, listen, I'm a man of authority. I tell someone to go and they go. I tell them to come and they come. In other words, you know, I am a boss where I'm at. But he said, that's not what I'm trying to do here. That's not what we're about here. I'm just asking. There's a couple of thoughts as to perhaps why he says he was unworthy. It was a very serious Jewish custom, and no doubt the centurion would have known it, to not enter into a Gentile's house. So when he says, I'm unworthy, more than likely that's probably the reference in which why he would say something like that. Because he knew that he was a Gentile and it would have been disrespectful to have a Jewish person come into his house. It just customarily was not done. Now, it's not that Jesus was refusing to do it. Understand that. Right? Jesus isn't saying you're not worthy. The man understood the custom and he respected Jesus and he respected these things. He recognized that he was a man under God's authority. That word worthy there, it's meaning sufficient in ability. Knows more than able. Jesus does not help people based on their position in life. He didn't help this man or this man's servant because he was a centurion or because he had authority. He simply is looking for humble people that have faith in him. He's looking for those people that have a spirit and a soul of just humility and say, God, I'm coming to you for, fill in the blank, not always a need, but rather just a relationship. Proverbs 29 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. James 4 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The powerful word of Jesus in verse 7 says, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. I love this centurion's faith. He says, Lord, all you need to do is just say the word and he's going to be healed. Right? You don't need to come and perform anything. You don't need to come and lay your hands. You don't need it. He said, Jesus, I believe that you can just heal him at your will. Right? It wasn't even that he would say something specific or some magical prayer enchantment. He says, I believe in who you are and I believe in your power and what you can do. Robert A. Stein said this, true faith realizes that God can heal apart from rituals, special ointments, touch, or monetary gifts to the healer. The centurion recognized that all Jesus needed to say was a single word. This is a lie in society today. There's a lot of churches, and I use that term, that word very loosely in this context, but there's a lot of churches that say, well, if you give a gift, then God will heal. If you have enough faith, then God will heal. If you, and fill in the blank, and here's the problem with that statement. Or let me ask you, what's the problem with that statement? Who is it putting reliance upon? It's putting upon the man, not upon the Savior. Right? It's a matter that you need to be able to do this. You need to say or do or feel or pay or give or whatever the case might be in order for this to be accomplished. See, that's the problem. The focus is in the wrong direction. The focus isn't on the Savior in that context. The focus is on the individual. And that can never be the focus. Why? Because the individual could do nothing to save themselves, to heal themselves, to help themselves or anything else. It is only Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's where this man's focus was. The centurion realized that all Jesus had to do was speak the word and his servant would be healed. And he knew that Jesus' words have authority. Hebrews chapter 4 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalm says, for he spake and it was done, and he commanded and stood fast. Psalm 107 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. See, the word of God. Now, we think of the Word of God, and rightly so, as the Bible, right? This is the Word of God. But for this man, it was the very words of God. Listen, the very words Christ spoke back in this day are no different than the Bible that we read today. Both of them still are inerrantly, completely, absolutely the Word of God. Now, in verse 9, we see his faith was recognized. It says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Don't miss that statement. Don't just kind of float over that and miss who's speaking right there in that phrase? Jesus. He's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to the apostles. He's speaking to the disciples. And who's he speaking about? The centurion. And perhaps it was most amazing, or what's most amazing about this passage is that Jesus, the creator of all, he marvels at the faith of this Roman centurion. He marvels at the faith that this guy has. And he says, I haven't found this level of faith, not in all of Israel. Now, let's just pause and I'll add one thought of my own in here. Maybe it's a good thought, maybe it's not, but it's the way my mind works. Do you think maybe there was some Pharisees or Sadducees in this crowd? Or at the very least, you know, like their scribes or their lackeys. Yeah. Do you think that message was going to get back to those guys? I believe it was. I believe it was. And he says, I haven't found such a faith in all of Israel where someone would just say, just heal them. And the word, your very words will take care of it. And the Jesus marvels at the centurion's faith in verse 9. The centurion's love and humility were commendable, but his faith is what gained Jesus' attention. His love for his servant, his love for the Jewish people and compassion upon them, all those things were good. All those things were right. But you notice what Jesus highlights? He highlights his faith. See, we can't miss that. It's too easy that we want to do the right thing and we want to do all that stuff. That's not it. Instead, we need to have great faith in Christ. Warren Wiersbe says this, after all, he was a Gentile whose background was more than likely pagan. He was a Roman soldier trained to be self-sufficient, and we have no evidence that he had ever heard Jesus preach to our knowledge in Scripture. Perhaps he heard about Jesus' healing power from the nobleman whose son Jesus had healed. We're not told the background. We're not told who told the centurion. There were times when Jesus marveled at a person's lack of faith. There's times when Jesus said very directly, he preached this in Nazareth in Mark chapter 6. He said, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Jesus marveled at this whole city's unbelief. Lack of obedience, lack of faith. But here, Jesus is marveling at the centurion's faith. Jesus praises the centurion's faith. When Jesus heard these, he marveled at him. And he turned him about and said to the people who followed, I say to you, I've not found such a faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus publicly praised this man for his faith to the people. Again, there's something here that we just can't read through. We can't just skim over. We don't want to miss this piece, right? That here you have this Roman centurion. Now, the Romans, were the Romans loved by the Jewish community? No. Now, this man was, right? He loved the people, or he cared for the people and those different pieces. We do know that part. But this wasn't something that the Jews loved. They didn't love being under the Roman authority or under the Roman's thumb, really. But yet Jesus is marveling at this man's faith. Like the majority of the message that Christ gives day in and day out through his 30 plus years of ministry, 3 years of ministry, his 33 years of life. Like much of that message, it was unpopular at the time. It didn't go with the flow, if you will, right? It wasn't something that you heard in the synagogues or in the tabernacle. It wasn't something that the Pharisees or the Sadducees would communicate with often. Why? Because it went against it. But here's what we can't miss. Just because something goes against it doesn't make it wrong. we hear about this in our society all the time, where people don't like when we teach or we preach or we stand on the Word of God. Listen, just because someone doesn't like something, if it's the Bible, it doesn't change the fact that it's truth. It doesn't change the fact that it's absolute. It doesn't change the fact that it's God's commands to us of who we need to be and how we need to be. So just because the world says it's wrong, listen, if the Bible says it's right, it's right. End of story. That's it. We need to show just that grain of mustard seed of faith, just as this centurion did for his servant. Having that little bit of love, a little bit of compassion, a little bit of fervor, a little bit, but above all, that faith in who Christ is. So we'll stop there for tonight and we'll finish out the rest of that passage, verse 10, with the miracle of faith next week.